Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the sixth day of August, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and today's topic is At the Brink. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, so pastordan.net. We do ask you to check out the Daily Mail page on that website, because that's where we put the latest and greatest info and links that we find. There is a home page on that website that has information on how you can help us out with a donation, if you feel led to. And also, if you want to get in touch with me and you don't have my personal contact information, there is a page entitled Contact Us at that website, so pastordan.net. An old adage says, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. Okay, how many of our people give up without even trying? Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. And again, how many of our people think everything should be handed to them? Richard Buckminster Fuller says, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. Are you paying attention, folks? To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. If you want a real-time example of what this quote is talking about, just check out the Amish communities across America. They have lived this quote all of their lives. All right. And Ralph Waldo Emerson, you should remember that name from your days in school. Of course, that's back when they actually taught you something of value. I'm not so sure they know that name today. Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his work called The Value of Good Work, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbor, though he builds his house in the woods, meaning way out of town, the world will make a beaten path to his door. In other words, the world will seek him out no matter how obscure he is, no matter how far from the beaten path he has built his home, they'll seek him out. You build a better mousetrap, as they used to shorten it to just that. But it's if you can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap. Revelation 18:4, and another verse from heaven came to my ears, saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. So what are we talking about here? Babylon, mystery Babylon. It's not so mysterious to us, is it? Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings, and what are we? His kings and priests. But the honor of kings to search out a matter. Amen. And of course, this verse, which pretty much summarizes where we are today, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, on whom my name is named, make themselves humble or low, and come to me in prayer, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions or sins, and will give life again to their land. As we read the verses I picked out for today, you're going to find out the significance of this verse. But again, this is a conditional verse. We've talked about that. In when I was in the power industry, we used to write procedures for maintenance and operations personnel. We called this an if-then statement, because in our procedures, we had many, many if-then statements. If you see this condition in the plant, then do this. If you see this light turn red, then you are to do this. That sort of thing, you see. So in the Bible, you have if-then statements as well. If describes the conditions, then tells you what will happen if the conditions are met. And our people today seem to forget that. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're given a list after the word if, what he expects us to do to receive the then part, which is that he will give his ear from heaven and overlook our transgressions and heal our land. You see, it's just like in our procedures. The if and the then go together. It's a conditional step. And in computer logic, it's a logic step. If then. If these conditions are met, then this action will happen. Scripture is written exactly the same way. So Henry David Thoreau, which I'm glad to see this quote is making its way around the internet today quite a bit. Henry David Thoreau said, "There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root." So 1 out of 1,000 people get it. Everybody's flailing their arms, bitching and moaning about the evils that we see today. And we do see many evils, of course. But they don't want to look at the root of all of these evils. It's a singular root. The same one that Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, condemned and preached against. The prophets told us in advance about. The disciples in their writings talk about. The same root. And this root being a group of people, and they happen to meet in synagogues and wear little hats. But this particular group of people also have another root. What is that? The root of all evil is the lust or love of money. So they go hand in hand. They are the root of the evil things going on because it is also they who exhibit a love or lust for money. Money itself is just a vehicle of exchange, a way to barter, so to speak, between people. Have commerce, which has nothing to do with government and or banks. Okay, that is something you and I can do as long as we agree on the medium of exchange. There were times in history when seashells were used as money. There were times when salt was used as money in the days of Rome. Okay, anything of value, anything that your neighbor will accept as a form of barter is, quote, currency, just a medium of exchange to assist in the bartering system. Ithaca, New York, and many, many other towns across America decades ago proved that this could be done when they issued their own, quote, script. And in Ithaca, they were called Ithaca hours. So each Ithaca hour was worth approximately 1 hour's labor of a blue-collar worker. And a blue-collar worker, of course, is like an electrician or a plumber or a garage mechanic. Okay, one Ithaca hour held that kind of value. Their little local economy flourished under Ithaca hours. Why? Because it wasn't Federal Reserve notes. Therefore, there was no need to tax it. There was no outsiders regulating its value and debasing the currency as Federal Reserve notes have been. And if you haven't seen that happening lately, you're blind. Absolutely blind. So again, you know, we have examples of how we can build a better mousetrap, build a system outside of this system, making the old system obsolete. Why is the old system obsolete? Because it's based on evil and greed. whereas we are to live under Yahweh's law. Also want to remind you, there's a new page on the website there, PastorDan.net. It's called Ella's Corner, where our listener Ella here has put up some of her work, and it will change probably once or twice a week. So check it out, Ella's Corner. She does really, really deep dives into Scripture and other material, not just Scripture, but does the deep dives into many of the things that are going on to get answers to our many questions. There's an old adage that says, talk is cheap and actions speak louder than words. Again, these are biblical concepts. And I see Dan from Georgia is joining us today. So welcome to the program, Dan. Real quick here, give me just a second. I want to write something down. And I'm going to ask Dan to join us later on in the broadcast if he wants to stick around and have a chat with us. I want to write some information down here. All right, very good. So not right away, Dan, so don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to do that immediately, but later on I would love to hear from you and have a little chat here. Let's see here. We got, now the verses for today on the brink, and the reason I'm talking about that is so many platforms are talking about the issue of being on the brink of some kind of great reset or a great calamity. We have been living through the tribulation. I hope you understand that. People say, oh, no, this isn't the Great Tribulation. Why? Because you haven't seen a head roll down the street from a guillotine. You don't think you're under tribulation. Okay? And obviously, you haven't been reading all the news feeds from some of the cities and people that live near the borders. They have literally lost their heads. Okay? Our nations, our white Aryan Israelite nations are under attack by invaders. And people are losing their heads, literally and figuratively, today. So don't tell me we're not under tribulation. We sure as hell are. Why are we under tribulation? Because of our disobedience. It's pretty obvious. Another thing that should be obvious is open war has been declared on our race. Again, if you don't see that or know that today, you're blind as a bat, okay? And it's not just Jews. Jews have convinced the minorities that white people are the problem. Now, I agree, there are some white people that aren't very good, but you got to remember, many of the atrocities that have been committed throughout history that have been attributed to the white race were actually committed by Jews. And a lot of people still have that misconception that Jews are white. No, they are not. They are not Caucasians. Never have been, never will be. They are aliens, just as in the books of John the Apostle. In his writings, he spoke as if the Jews sprang from an alien race. Now, where did I get that? I got that from Thayer's New English Greek lexicon. It wasn't even from identity literature. It's right there in a text, a collegiate lexicon on the Greek language, written back in the 1980s. The writings of John, he spoke, especially in chapter 8, he spoke of the Jews as if Christ and the disciples had nothing in common with them. Did you hear that? Nothing in common with them. And spoke of them as if they sprang from an alien race. Hallelujah. Little truth every now and then. Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation or people will rise against nation, and kingdom or governments or nations against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Now, again, we talked about in the Greek language, these are not just literal famines and earthquakes. The terminology in the Greek language can also apply to social upheaval. And what we're witnessing in the world today is both. the literal translation that we will have famine, famine for food, famine for truth. We will have earthquakes, great shakenings, and weird, suspicious things happening in nature. But at the same time, we have social upheaval. You're in the latter days, folks. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent. Now, again, serpent here is not talking about a snake, who is called Diablos, or devil, and Shatan, or Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his messengers, or assistants, here they use the word angelos, or angels, were thrown down with him. This is not something from the other side of the firmament. This is a description of evil people, deceivers, which is what the word Nakash, where we get the word serpent from. Nakash was a man, a deceptive, evil, cunning man. In the Greek, they use the word Diablos to explain his behavior and those who behave like him to be Diablos, deceivers, adversaries. You have many adversaries. Even John the Apostle in his writing says we have many antichrists, adversaries amongst us. The word Satan comes from Shatan in the Hebrew, meaning exactly the same thing. Adversaries. Stop looking to the supernatural for your adversaries. They wear suits of clothes. They wear shoe leather. They walk among you, your enemies. Judge them by their fruits. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we are told that Yahweh is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So what is all this all about? Why do we live under the fires of judgment? Because Yahweh wants his children to wake the hell up. He's been beating you over the head with a 2x4 and you're not paying attention. How many people are calling for repentance? And I'm talking about true repentance, not the way the church world does it. Okay, why do you think the Jews allow the Billy Grahams and the Robert Schulers and the Jimmy Swaggerts and the Tim and Tammy Baker, those kind of charlatans and quacks, all the airtime they want? Why do you think they allow those programs? Because they don't fear them. Those programs, those people are preaching the church doctrine. Yeshua didn't come here to get you to join a church. He didn't get you to join a religion. He came here to fulfill his mission, Yahweh the Father, to his children, to teach them, to walk amongst them, to show them the better way. He also fulfilled his own promises to his people, and he also fulfilled the rules, the laws. Cannot break his own law. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, Christ was completely different individual. Well, really? Well, if that's true, then Yahweh's law is a lie. Because the only person who could fulfill the husband dying so that he could remarry his adulterous wife, who we are in the marriage supper of the Lamb, the husband must die. The husband is who? Yahweh himself. Get that through your head. There is only one Elohim God, living God, creator of you and I, this world we live in, the laws that it operates by. There's only one. Stop making three. Triune. Three. Well, it's three parts of one. It's one. You don't even know all the facets of the creator, folks. You're not that smart. Neither am I. So stop pretending. Stop making up man-made religions. Stop going to these buildings called churches, whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Yeah, you're not gonna learn a damn thing in them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, of course, this is just verse 2, but there's this whole chapter talks about the condition of people at the end of the age. For people will be lovers of self. We call it, it just jumped out of my head. Narcissists. Okay, that's a fancy word for lovers of self. Lovers of money, greedy bastards. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And you can read the rest of chapter 3 to get the rest of it. But you get the drift of it. That's exactly how people behave today. Unbelievable. Now, Luke 21, verse 11 also talks about there will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. Now, this word for pestilence here, of course, doesn't tell you if it's real or man-made or simply promoted as COVID was when it doesn't even exist. It only existed in the minds of the people being propagandized by the, quote, trusted voices. So again, in Luke 21 here, it doesn't necessarily mean a real pestilence or even a real famine. Much of the famine we're seeing today is, again, man-made, exactly as the gas shortages in the early 1970s that I lived through when I was in the Air Force. Those were man-made shortages. Pastor Lindsey Graham, a Baptist minister, wrote 2 books about that whole facade, that whole charade, the non-energy crisis and to seduce a nation. Pastor Lindsey Graham, I read both of those books a long time ago. He talks about witnessing it firsthand. We all lived through it. My dad even lived through it. He proved it. He found people dumping gasoline in abandoned gas stations at 3 o'clock in the morning back in the day. All right. We all knew that something was wrong. It was a man-made shortage. Just like acts of terror today. They're not homegrown terrorists. Every act of terror is supported and generated by a government. Luke 10, verse 2, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to Yahweh of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's talking about you and me, folks, to send out his elect, the remnant who understand these things in these dark days. Dark why? Dark as far as no sunshine? No, not dark. Dark as ignorance, lack of truth. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of Yahweh God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and Yahweh himself will be with them as their Elohim God. Our Father dwells amongst us, folks. That's why our bodies are called holy temples. The Holy Spirit dwells within inside of that temple, and that Holy Spirit ties us to our Creator. Again, why the pineal gland is so important. It's your antenna to the world of the spiritual. Revelation 16, verse 18, and there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as had never been seen since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. And again, these are Greek words using to describe a literal earthquake or social upheaval. Have we ever seen social upheaval as great as we're seeing today or have seen for the past 3.5 years? I don't know, but a lot of commentators seem to think that we've never been here before. First of all, as far as we know anyway, we've never had this kind of technology available to us for the perpetrators of evil to propagandize us and lie to us and bombard us through the flat screens, the images controlled by the beast. Remember, we talked to you about that. When it says images of the beast, remember, of is a preposition, and it can be a possessive preposition. So images of the beast, we always take that to mean images representing the beast. No. Images controlled by the beast. You could rewrite it as images or beasts with apostrophe S, beasts, images. The beast creates the images. The images then create what's in your mind. That's why Yahweh tells us many times in Scripture to guard what enters your ears and your eyes. Guard what you listen to. Guard what you see. They have great influence on you. And the enemy knows that. Revelation 13, verse 2, and the beast, that's this world system, that I saw was like a leopard. Yeah, he moves around pretty quick. Its feet were like a bear's. Big claws do a lot of damage. And its mouth was like a lion's mouth, for both speaking blasphemies and also taking life. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. The governments of the world, man-made government. You want your beast? Take a look. Now in Revelation 12, verse 2, she was pregnant and she was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Who is that? That's our people. That's this world trying to bring forth the righteous. Because it is the sons of Yahweh who, according to Obadiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah, that will rise up as a righteous and mighty army to do his will. People say, well, vengeance is the Lord's. Yeah, and we are his weapons of war and vengeance. We have some scripture in here that's going to back that up. So never forget that. Revelation 11, Revelation, remember, is the Apocrypha, or not Apocrypha, but the Apocalypse. Apocalypse is the Greek word for revelation. Revealing. I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Is that literal, or is that figurative? A lot of debate about who actually the two witnesses are. Lots of debate. Does it really matter? There are many who prophesy to our people, but our people aren't paying attention. Their ears are sealed over. Their consciences are seared over. And for those of you who grew up on farms, you know what searing a wound is all about, right? In the old days, when you didn't have doctors and hospitals nearby, if you had a very serious wound that would not stop bleeding, you seared it over with a hot iron. You stuck an iron into the middle of a campfire until it was red hot, and you seared the wound. So a seared over conscience means you have a crust or a scab over it. You have a hard substance that's hard to penetrate. The conscience of our people is hard to penetrate with truth and honesty and justice because it's been seared over. They've fallen into the trap of the Antichrist. In Jude chapter 1, verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Well, eternal fire, of course. Fire represents Yahweh's judgment. His judgment against the cities that practice these things, or the people in the cities who practice these things, is eternal. He will forever be at enmity with people who practice homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, the black arts, the occult, the Satanists, etc., etc., etc. 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are from Yahweh God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Well, it lies in the power of the evil one in the sense that our people have willingly given themselves over to the adversaries who lie to us and propagandize us, who acquiesce to the evil around us. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 3, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days, with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Turn on your computer or your television, you'll see it every day. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, the scoffers are saying, hey, where's this vengeance? Where's this punishment from the Father? You know, we're doing pretty good. You know, the Jews got all the money they handed out to all of the misfits and creatures of evil. So where the hell is this this promise of his coming and bringing judgment against them? Where is it? Remember, we just read it. He's slow to anger. In human terms, doesn't mean that it isn't going to happen. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 2, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets. Now, holy here doesn't mean they're perfect. Holy means consecrated to Yahweh. The holy prophets and the commandment of Yahweh and Messiah through your apostles. Remember the predictions. In other words, you have been told. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. For the time is past suffices for doing what is the Gentiles want to do. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Lawless in what way? Meaning outside of Yahweh's law, because Yahweh doesn't give a damn about man's law. Okay? 1 Peter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Why? Because only the righteous prayers reach the ears of the Almighty. Okay? The end of all things is at hand. James 4, verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Because you're trying to do it in man's way. Okay, you have no patience. You don't ask for the will of the Father in your life. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Yahshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Just like it says of Yahweh. He doesn't change ever. Okay? 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, meaning his racial family, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We got a lot of that I see today. A lot of problems with a dissolution of our families, which is a very strong core for the Aryan people, Yahweh's people upon the earth. And the enemy has worked very hard to destroy that, and they've succeeded only because we allow it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the natural person does not accept things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, meaning foolishness, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Do you know many people with actual spiritual discernment today? Romans 13, verse 4. For he is Yahweh's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of Yahweh God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So a lot of these people say vengeance is Yahweh's, okay? Punishment comes from Yahweh, vengeance is Yahweh, blah, 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 blah. But how many verses talk about us not wielding the sword in vain? Again, Psalm 91, Psalm 149, make it very, very clear that we are his weapons of war. Jeremiah, again, we are his weapons of war and vengeance. When we operate in his will to purify, to cleanse, to bring true justice on the earth. And here again in Romans 8, starting at verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Apocalypse. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of Yahweh God. And again, for you folks out there who love to argue about interpretations, about things written, translated, etc., even in John chapter 14 at verse 26, here's what he said, as far as we know. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, okay? So now he's talking about the Helper. He's already told you he's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He, the Holy Spirit, or Helper, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's Yahshua, or Yahweh in a flesh body, speaking to you. Notice John 14, 26 does not say, I'm going to send you writings or parchments or books. What did he say he's going to send? My Holy Spirit, my consecrated spirit, the spirit that only I can give. True believers, true lovers of truth and honesty and the Father above have this Holy Spirit. That's why there is so much contention with the world of churchianity. And even in identity circles, for those who love to argue interpretations, because some people in those congregations operate in the Holy Spirit while others operate in the written word and ignore the teachings of the Spirit. I've seen it firsthand, so don't tell me it doesn't exist. In fact, it happens way too often amongst our people. Also in John 14 at verse 15, we have, if you love me, the words of Christ, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. My commandments. Yahweh's commandments. Yahweh's commandments. In Luke 10:27, and he answered them, You shall love Yahweh your Elohim God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all of your mind and your neighbor as yourself. These are two of the commandments Yahshua pushed, but they're all based on the teachings that Yahweh gave through the prophets. You shall love Yahweh God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And your neighbor, your kinsman, as yourself. That's the part we seem to miss. Even the people that get the first part right, they love the Father, but they have a hard time loving their kinsman. In Matthew 24 at verse 42, we are told, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your master or Lord is coming. That's the same thing he told the bridesmaids, the parable about the bridesmaids. Be prepared at all times because you don't know the day of his coming. Matthew 24, again, starting at verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Tell me in my lifetime, that's all we hear. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes. All these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. So for us, we're going through the birth pangs of a new age, a new world, a new Jerusalem for our people, which is good news. For the world, they're going through the pains of fiery judgment. It all depends on where you stand spiritually, doesn't it? In Matthew 15 at verse 3, we're also told, and he answered them, and why do you break the commandment of Yahweh for the sake of your tradition? What's that mean in modern terms? Why do you forsake the commandments of your heavenly Father through his Holy Spirit for your traditions of circumcision? For your traditions brought to you by the Catholic Church of monogamy only? For your traditions brought to you again by the Catholic Church of the shape of the world. And we could go on and on and on. Traditions built by men, evil men with agendas. And we're willing to break the commandments of the Most High to fulfill the traditions of many times people who are not of our kind. In Matthew chapter 5 at verse 19, it says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. So remember, not only doing them, but teaching them. Be willing to swim upstream, so to speak, like the salmon against the stream of the zombies that are out there. Matthew 5 also tells us at verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Our people don't seem to know that one. Don't have all much of that anymore. Not a lot of mercy. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, for Yahweh is a jealous and avenging Elohim God. Yahweh is avenging and wrathful, and Yahweh takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. And again, we are his instruments of vengeance and war. Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form light and create darkness. This is Yahweh. I form light or knowledge, wisdom, and create darkness or ignorance and stupidity. I make well-being and create calamity. What are we living in right now? Calamity. For I, Yahweh, who does all these things. For I am Yahweh who does all these things. Amen. That's right. Everything is from our Father. Everything, including your punishment, including your misery, including the enemy put upon you. Isaiah 29, verse 6, you will be visited by Yahweh of hosts with thunder and with earthquakes. So here again, these calamities, where are they coming from? And great noise with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire, which is called judgment. So where do these calamities come from? You think you're going to defeat what the Jews are doing? And all of these corrupt politicians and evil governments of men, they're put upon you because you don't repent. How many circles? And I'm in a lot of patriot forums, so I hear a lot of people pontificating about what needs to be done. When, yeah, we do have injustice, and there are many things that need to be done. But how many of these platforms do they talk about the repentance of the individual? How many times do they say, well, if you want to defeat the enemy, you have to cleanse your own house? Meaning, starting with you, that look in the mirror. That individual you see in the mirror, that's where it starts. It starts with you and me. Do we truly, honestly repent? Proverbs 25, verse 26, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Uh-oh. When you're a righteous man, in other words, you know Yahweh, you know the truth, but you give way before the wicked because what? It's easier to go along to get along, Dan. Come on. You know that. And yet in Psalm 144, verse 1, blessed be Yahweh, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Wait a minute. I thought vengeance of Yahweh. Why would Yahweh train my hands for war and my fingers for battle if everything's up to him as far as correcting what's wrong? No, no, it does start with repentance, that's true, but he's training the repentant for war, to do battle against the wicked. Again, go read Psalm 149 if you don't believe me. Psalm 46, verse 1, Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yeah, he is. When you repent, and again in Psalm 34, starting at 17, when the righteous cry for help, you could also say repent, Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Well, wait a minute. Yahweh is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I don't know about you folks, but lately, that's describing me, brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. That's how I feel. When I look around and see the condition of this world and how few want to fix it, they're content to sit at their homes and behind their computer screens or close their doors and just turn their backs on what's going on. It does make you brokenhearted. Deuteronomy 28, starting at 47, because you did not serve Yahweh your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of your abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom Yahweh will send against you, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and lacking everything. He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you, or until you repent. And again, you can go read all of Deuteronomy 28, because it contains the curses and the blessings. The curses, of course, start at verse 15. We won't go into them today because you can do that on your own. That's a good study for you later today. Leviticus 26, not the whole thing, because this is referring to verses 1 through 46, but you shall not make idols for yourself, or erect an image or pillar. And you shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am Yahweh your God. What have we done? Because what he's describing is an idolater. We've created many idols that we worship today. Many idols. The organized mainstream church is an idol. The mainstream media has become an idol. The governments of men have become idols that you worship, you fear. You worship them. You acquiesce to them. You're idols. Daniel 2, verse 21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Everything emanates from the Father. He is the Creator. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Yahweh God. And lastly, Revelation 6:17, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Dan, I'm going to ask you to unmute at your end. I've unmuted at this end. How you doing, buddy? Are you there? Or is this not Dan from Georgia? Is this somebody just put Dan from Georgia in there? Maybe so. Okay, I've unmuted you in case you had something. I'm going to unmute Caucasian guy, Ella, and John. Does anybody have any comments, questions, or anything further to add along with the topic for today? Nobody? All right. That's fine. All right. Let's see here. Give me a second, folks. I'm just... If you change your mind, use the chat there, Dan, to let me know. But I'll just go ahead and wrap things up then. I don't like to just keep rambling on just to ramble on, because I do know everybody has got a million things going on today. I know I do, and I'm sure many of you do. But again, are we on the brink of something? Yeah, everybody's talking about it. And I'm talking about not only theologically wise, but just people in general. You can sense it. You can feel it. I mean, the insanity, if you don't realize that the world has gone completely insane, you're totally out of touch. That's pretty obvious. Things that if people had told us back when I was a boy in the 1950s and 60s that we would see what this world has become today, we would have laughed our asses off to them. In fact, back in that day, we had not even heard of a lot of this stuff. Transgenderism, nobody talked about that. Even homosexuality, it was laughed at, that homosexuals would be out of the closet and that we would promote pedophilia and try to normalize pedophilia and sex change operations and that sort of nonsense. In fact, if you'd have told us that parents would actually attend drag queen story hour and drag queen parades and things like that, we would have laughed and said, you're absolutely crazy. In America, we would allow such a thing? And yet, in my lifetime, we've been led down that path. Now it's being normalized. If you watch the images controlled by the beast, your flat screens, I don't know. I keep praying for Yahweh to put an end to this because he's the only one that can put an end to this. Now, can he use you and me as his children to be part of that? Absolutely. Do you not think that this radio broadcast and those that support it are not having an influence on this sick world that we live in? Absolutely. I'm hearing a lot of platforms reiterate many of the things that you and I have talked about on this platform here. And we talked about it as much as 5 or 6 years ago. And it's percolated up through society to where now other platforms are reiterating the very topics that you and I have talked about here and shared. In fact, Dan from Georgia can attest to this. Okay, because Dan used to come on quite frequently and brought a lot of wisdom and insight to the program. And so did many others. All right, this has been a platform for wisdom and truth for a long time because there is no agenda here. We're certainly not getting rich doing this like so many other platforms are. We also are not becoming popular like so many platforms because we're reviled against and condemned, and yet we're still here. Yahweh has given a cloak of protection because we are walking on the narrow path, because we're not doing this for glory or for gain. We simply want the truth out there because we know the truth sets you free from all of these things that are going on. But you have to love the truth. He sent a strong delusion over us because our people stopped caring about truth. They cared more about winning the argument. They cared more about their ego. They cared more about being butthurt, easily triggered. They cared more about what the people at work might say. They cared more about their pensions and paychecks. And they lived in fear. Fear of retribution from the beast. And Yahweh said it very, very clearly when he walked this earth. If you want to gain your life, you have to give it up. And he did not mean literally as in being a martyr. He meant give up the fear of death. Give up the idea that you have to live it to the fullest because this is all you've got, because that's not true. You live it in obedience to him. You live it in a love for your kinfolk. That is more important than this world and this time in this world. We're all going to reach an end of time in this world. Personally, I think we're living in that age where some of us will not taste death because we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We will go from this existence into the next, whatever form it takes, without experiencing death of this body. The scriptures talk about it, and you can kind of sense it. Some of the more spiritual people in my circles have talked about it. You can kind of sense that that's where this is going. Many people will experience physical death, as they already have, because they have bowed down to the beast. But there is a remnant who will not experience that. They will simply transform from this existence into the new world that is coming, one that is absent of these monsters in shoe leather that are destroying the earth and those who dwell upon the earth, both animal, vegetable, and mankind. Repent, ladies and gentlemen, and keep your prayers up. And remember, it does say to cry out to the Father upon your beds, and we've talked about this. I've noticed that, especially those of us that that do not sleep with another person. I know we were all conditioned that when you get married or whatever, you sleep together. I've lived both ways, and I'm going to tell you that doing it the biblical way is by far the best way. Because when you sleep alone, you have time to meditate, you have time to reflect, and you have time to pray. So crying out to the Father upon your bed is exactly what Scripture is talking about. I find it is the easiest time of day in the morning and at night. First thing in the morning and the last thing before I go to sleep is an excellent time when the noise level is down, when the hustle and bustle of daily life is at a minimum, and you are at peace and it's quiet. And you can lay your head down and you can hear him speak to you. You can do it during the day, of course. Again, if you do what the Scripture says, go to a quiet place. But for sure, the first thing in the morning and last thing at night are quiet places when you're there by yourself. There's no interference. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We ask a blessing upon all those that hear this message. We pray that their ears would be opened up, that their minds would be opened up to truth and wisdom, that they'd be given discernment to look through the thick fog of lies and deception that has been put upon this earth. And we pray that all of our people would realize that repentance and coming back to you is the answer to all of the woes that are in this world. It's really quite simple. And it starts at home. It starts with the guy in the mirror and within the household of the believer. Are you a strong husband, a strong father in your household? Are you a teacher? Are you a disciplinarian? And do you teach by example? I would pray that we all are. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings, Father. And as we get closer and closer to this day of judgment coming upon this earth, we just ask that you would walk with us and guide us as always. Overlook our shortcomings, but lift us up. Give us a strong backbone and good discernment, courage to say what needs to be said, and wisdom to know when to say it and when not to say it. To all these things we ask in the name of Yahweh our Father, and always we ask that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name, hallelujah.